our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. John chapter 5 and verse 1. After this, there was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, walk." And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I'm going to resist the temptation to preach from that. No, I'm not. I'm not going to resist the temptation. May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Lord, thank you for this word. You know, when Bracken was reading it, I've taught from that. We did the Gospel of John on Wednesday night a few years ago. And I've taught, I'm old enough to have taught from this passage a bunch of times. But it just struck me emotionally what happened here when Bracken was reading that here's this man who had been lame for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him and asked him, did he want to get well? His response was so heartbreaking because that well, an angel would come and stir up the waters and people would have friends with them to help him get to the water so they could get healed. But this lame man didn't have any friends. Like, people brought him there, but they left him there every day. Didn't stay with him just in case the waters get stirred. And so when the waters would get stirred, these people are being carried to the water, and he's evidently trying to crawl with his hands, drag himself across the ground, and never could get there in time. That's just sad, so sad. But then Jesus shows up and asks him a question, "Do you want to get well?" There have been many times in my life where the Lord has come to me really with those words, where there are things going on in my life or stuff he's dealing with in my life, and I've just been like never, I'm just dragging myself trying to get to this place, those healing waters, and the Lord would finally look at me and say, "Do you want to get well?" And I knew what he was asking me. And sometimes I'd say, "But Lord, you have done this, I've done that, I've tried to do this." And the Lord showed up. He was the one, in a sense, he was now the friend who was going to carry him to the waters. But it's going to be better than that. Jesus was just going to heal him. And he broke all the rules. The 39 things the Pharisees say you can't do on the Sabbath, number 39 is you can't pick up anything and carry it. Now, I've said this before, you know, like if I was a good Jew, I probably wouldn't remember number 17. You know what I'm saying? I may have a few of my favorites that I remember, but a normal Jew probably just wouldn't remember number 14 or number 27. Maybe know the first one and would certainly know the last one. This is the last one. And I love this story, and that when he gets healed and then the Pharisees confront him. He says what happens. And then they go after Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, look, don't blame me. I just do what I see my Father doing. And the problem is you don't really understand who the Father is. And the Father's more concerned about this man's healing and wholeness than he was about keeping the rules. God's governed by that rule. See, here's the thing you have to understand. The atmosphere of the kingdom that Jesus came to demonstrate and the attitude of the Father that Jesus manifested is that it's all about grace. It's different than anything else out in the world. What you've done or didn't do or couldn't do or haven't done or don't haven't earned or that doesn't count in the kingdom. It's a grace reality. And Jesus demonstrated that and said, don't be mad at me. Again, I just do what the Father's doing. He was literally said it to him over and over again. Verse 19, he was saying again and again to them, truly, truly. Whenever Jesus is saying truly, truly, it's like going, hello, hello. I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. But earlier, when Jesus sees the man again, in verse 14, afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you've become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may befall you. Now, am I saying that people are sick or infirm because they've committed sin? No. Again, that's sort of crazy charismatic nonsense. I've seen the damage of it over that kind of nonsense. But is brokenness, period, the result of the fall? Yes. And is it true that sometimes we can not get healed? I don't mean that just physically, but get healed up in other ways because of stuff in our lives? Yes, that's true. How many, I remember one of the first things I read in John Wimber's book about power evangelism is about praying for people who had terrible arthritis. He would always ask them, is there anybody in your life you've not forgiven? And not every time, but often, if they would own somebody, some that, they would see healing because there'd be some kind of connection to that particular issue. Now, what was this man's sin? Because Jesus said, sin no more. I think it was bitterness. Ever since that his brokenness had befallen him, I think he was bitter. Maybe it was a result of whatever, what family he came from. Maybe first bitter because he was still sick or infirm. Maybe it's because nobody was there to help him get in the water. I don't know. But Jesus did say, after healing him, what did he say? Do not sin anymore. Remember the woman caught in adultery? He said, go and sin no more. To her, he didn't condemn her. He didn't condemn the man. He just says, my heart for you was wholeness, not just healing. That's just the compassion of God. So I love this story about this man and the picture of him dragging himself, never able to get there, and grace showed up. And it had nothing to do. Jesus didn't say in his situation, will you repent of this sin? No. He healed him. And having encountered the grace and the goodness of God, he says, now will you let go of this? That's how it works. That's the kingdom. There's so much demonstration here about what the kingdom actually looks like, how it functions. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay.